Okay.
Okay.
This is where you really need some power. Cannot write without the power of God. This is where you really find out whether you plugged in or not. This is where a lot of people get stuck, and I've sponsored a whole lot of people. And looking at yourself is not an easy deal when you're always looking at other people. But always, other people is always the problem and not me. If they would just straighten up, I'd be okay. So, after making the third, after doing the third step prayer, the book says we launched our own course of vigorous action. The word vigorous, I looked up in the dictionary, it says carried out forcibly and energetically. I don't know nobody that approaches the fourth step forcefully and energetically. You know, they kind of did, oh, okay. There's a first step of which is personal house cleaning, which many of us never attempted. How many people in here did a fourth step? Good. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, vital, concerned with or necessary to the maintenance of life. That's how the book described it. I looked it up in the dictionary, vital. Necessary to the maintenance of life. Crucial, important, essential, resolving a crisis. Book said that it had little permanent effect unless at once. That's why when I take people, when I work with people, and after we say the third step of prayer, immediately go right into inventory. Because the book says at once, followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things that are blocking us. From who? From God. That power that I need. Strenuous effort. Then we had to get down to causes and conditions, and therefore we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four, business, which takes no regular inventory, usually goes broke. Anybody you know that's got a business that don't take an inventory, they don't know what's selling, they don't know what's doing. So we do that. It said we take stock with our own life and do inventory. Taking commercial inventory is a fact-finding, fact-facing process, and this is an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade, and one object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself. Damaged or unsaleable goods. To me, it sounds like, you know, how we had this character defect that ain't working for us, and we just holding on to it like one day it's going to work. One day, dishonesty is going to pay off. I remember my stepfather had a 59 Caddy. He was going to restore it after it broke down. And it sat in the backyard for 20 years. And by the time we had to get rid of it, the tow truck couldn't tow it out. He had to dig it up out the ground. It sat through the winter, then summer, then winter, then summer, and fall, and it just sank down into the ground. That's how my character defects are. That's how resentments are. They just sink and they sink and they sink. And I found out that when I don't deal with my resentments, they get worse. And I'll explain that to you as we go on. said we did the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly, and first we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our faith. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways, which had defeated us, and we considered this common manifestation. You know, back in the other part of the book, it says that we were driven. It says by 100 forms of fear and self-delusion and self-pity. I also say that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of our troubles. And the root is the origin. The very root. And here it tells me self-manifested. How does self manifest itself in different ways? I'll tell you in a minute. It talks about the most common manifestation, and that's resentment. And here's the number one offender. Who don't believe that? Everybody believes that? Right. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. What is that?
Resentment.
From it. Pride, greed, sensitiveness, stubborn, skeptical, fear, dishonesty, self-seeking, selfishness, cynical, lust, envy, sloth. All that stems from that one thing. I can be resentful and be lazy. I ain't going down this damn job. Screw them. Taking a day off. Because I got a resentment at the job. No. Book says we have not only been mentally and physically ill, which we learned in the first 60 pages, but we've been spiritually sick. And when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So what does that tell me? That my problem is spiritual in nature. So whatever's in here always winds up in up here. Whatever's in my heart always winds up. I read that in another book. What's in my heart usually manifests itself up here out of my head. In dealing with resentments, we set up on paper. We listed people, institutions, who we were angry with, and we asked ourselves why we were angry. Now, I always find that there's always seven areas of my life that's always affected by my resentment. Seven areas. The first one is my self-esteem. What's the definition of that? Come on, y'all did inventory.
How I view or see myself.
Yeah. How I see and feel about myself. Pride.
How others see me.
How others see and feel about me. Ambition.
What I want out of this scene.
Yeah. My goals. Yeah. Security.
What I need to be okay.
Things I need to be okay. Sex relations.
What a real woman is supposed to look like.
My deep-seated belief about what I think men and women should be like. Sex relationship does this pertain to women. I honor this pertains to men too. Because I got some deep-seated beliefs about how I think men should be. Personal relationships.
No question.
Yes.
Explain to me how men show up in your deep-seated beliefs in sexual relations. Because like Mark taught me being a heterosexual that sexual relations are about the way me and women look. And that my personal relationships were about the way me and men look.
Okay.
So, and you said that men show up in your sex. I'm trying to understand.
Sex is about a gender, ain't it?
It is.
Okay. It could be man or woman.
Is it determined by what we prefer, whether it's man or woman?
Yes. I know y'all disagree with that. That's okay. But I got some deep-seated beliefs about how I think men should be. Long right, I think about how women should be. Personal relationships, I was always told, is how my friends and family see me. So it's those seven areas of my life. And believe it or not, people get stuck in this part of the inventory, which is the easiest part of the inventory, because it's the part where I point fingers at people. Which was something that I did all my life, because I live in a three-dimensional world. Who I'm angry at, why I'm angry at it, and how it affects me. That's how I live all my life.
Greg, could you go over those seven areas again, please?
The what?
Seven areas.
Okay. Self-esteem. Yeah. Pride. Yeah. Ambition.
Ambition.
Security. Yeah. Sex relations. Personal relations. And there's one more I left out. I didn't leave out one.
Pocketbook.
Pocketbook. Now, pocketbook, I was told it can not only it just mean money, but it could also mean me wasting my time. And time sometimes just is money. Me have a where's the marker? So I'm gonna do. A little inventory. How many of y'all did an extended third column? What that is that where I really get you. And Big Frank used to do that, he's called it the theater of the lie. And then I really write out how it affects my self-esteem and my pride, my ambition. So say I got a resentment at Ron. First column. First column, who I'm resentful at. Cause. He won't follow my direction. I'm just making it. Affects my. We talk about the seven areas. So let's look at self-esteem. This is where my self-esteem is. I'm a good sponsor. I give good direction. Anybody don't understand this, what I'm doing? Huh? See, this is what my ego is telling me. Otherwise, it wouldn't affect me. It affects how I see and feel about myself. He ain't doing what I ask him to do, he make me look bad. Pride. No one should know that he don't follow my direction. Because pride is how other people see and feel about me.
Y'all understand that?
Yes, sir.
Anybody that don't?
Can you do that for all seven?
Huh?
You do that for all seven?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ambition. What is my ambition?
I want Ron to recover.
Yeah. Simply put, I want him to follow my damn direction.
Recovers, that's okay too.
Huh?
I said if he recovers,
that's
okay
too.
That's a bonus.
Security. I need him to do what I tell him to do so I can be okay.
So I'll be validated.
Yeah. He's a wonderful sponsor. And he does that, and look how good he is.
Right.
Remember, the security is always about what I need to be okay. Next, sex relationship. Great, I just put relationship. Real men follow directions. Now, if it was a woman, I would say real women follow directions. Personal relationship.
Good sponsees do what their sponsors tell them to do.
Yeah. Personal relationships. Friends in the program should never know that my sponsee doesn't follow my direction. Because personal relationships is about friends and family, so this don't have nothing to do with my family. But I was writing about somebody in my family, it probably wouldn't apply. But there's people in the fellowship that know I sponsor him, right? And he said, you have people say, oh, he's my sponsor, but he ain't doing no work. I don't play that shit. You know, I'm not going to sponsor by name. You know, some people like to get this, oh, yeah, who's my sponsor? Oh, Greg's my sponsor. Yeah, he's got 23 years and all that, you know. But they ain't doing nothing. They ain't doing no work. Pocketbook.
You said there, the way I was taught was like what personal relations would be. A real sponsee does and follows instructions from a sponsor, mm-hmm. And there would be no sex relations because it's not of the opposite sex.
Yeah, do it anyway. I mean, it's the right way, it's a different way. I've done the work and I've done it in different ways and I got different results. You know. So I'm not saying that your way don't work. I'm just telling a different way that I do. That's all. Real simple. Yes?
Why do you do each one?
Huh?
Why do you do each of the seven?
Do the extended of it? Because it really shows me where it helps me get past my ego so I really can see how it affects me, rather than just write out self-esteem and pride and all that. I need to know exactly why, how it affects me. And I can get behind it. Because if these three columns are not in line, then the fourth column is going to be off too. So the more information I got here in this third column, the better I can see what part I play when I get to the fourth column. Yes, sir.
Do you use all, okay, for example, like in the past I have perhaps not used all seven. Like, I didn't feel that all seven areas of self were applied to the... Do you use all seven every time for every resentment?
No, not for everyone.
Okay.
Not for everyone. Sometimes. But the ones that all that always do is this one.
Right.
This one. Pride.
The majority of the time, all seven areas apply to a resentment.
Majority of the time.
And that's 99% of the time.
Right.
It requires work.
Right.
It requires digging. It's a spiritual exercise. And when you dig into it, all seven areas will apply, basically. The only one that might not apply is pocketbook.
And what I found out about that is a lot of times Ron's wasted my time for not following my direction. Time is money for me, so in a sense, right? If I take time out of my day and I sit with you and I write with you and I'm here, I invested all this time from the title page all the way up to this inventory, and then you stop and I invested all this time. So I'm looking at my pocketbook and saying that's not working. Any questions? Any more questions?
So for pocketbook, would it be nobody should waste my time?
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Yeah, but isn't that having expectations?
Huh?
Isn't that having expectations?
Oh, the whole thing is about expectations. Yes. Right.
Okay, can you go over the difference between sex relations and personal relations again?
I was told that the personal relationships was friends and family.
Okay.
How they see and feel about me.
Okay.
Is it how they see or how you feel they see?
How they see. How I think they see and feel about me.
I think
they see and feel about me. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
How I think they see and feel about me. Okay. And sex relationships could go with gender, too. So it was told when it was about friends and family. So I include the men in there, too, when I do the inventory. That's just me. You don't have to do it. You just leave it to just women alone. That's it. But it applies. Because I have some deep-seated ideas about what I think men and women should be like. You know, like what I was telling you earlier, I was telling a story of what I believe a woman should be like and how I think she should act. And she should be submissive and she should do this and do all that. And it's a bunch of BS. You know, but there's some ideas. Yeah. There's some ideas that I grew up with, that was instilled in me, and by whatever examples that I had that was going on in my household. You know, just like the idea of, you know, kids are different now. Just like the idea of when my parents was talking, or their grown-ups were talking, I wasn't allowed to be in the room. Kids nowadays, they sitting right up on you, listening to all this stuff. I would shoot. You know, it was just not practice. You couldn't do it. My mother and father believed in you should be seen and not heard. My mama told me, until you get a job and start paying rent, you ain't got no opinion. Come in. That's the way I was raised, I'm telling you. All that stuff about you in my privacy. Why you in my room? My mama would say, boy, you must be out of your mind. You ain't got no room. I pay the rent here. I come in your room anytime I feel like it. I mean, that's just the way I was, you know, and sometimes it works. And I still turned out terrible.
I guess I have.
I'm an alcoholic enough.
I guess jumping off of Stephen Brigman over here is that I can see where they supply, but I would almost say the pocketbook would always apply. You know, when you said 90%, whereas the sex relations to me is probably the one of the seven that would be the one that would fall by the wayside more often than.
Well. What I was going to say was that when you've done the work as much as we have, the book says we are prepared to look at this from a different angle. And we've looked at it from a number of angles. The basic way to look at the seven areas in extended third column or just looking at them, because you can do it, you can do third column without extending it. You can write self-esteem, pride. But the extended third column is a method that came to fruition, which will allow you not to even have to write a fourth column, because it will be so clear. You will see your dishonesty, you'll see your selfishness, you'll see your self-seeking, and you'll see your fear. But the basic way, the very first way I was taught to write inventory around the seven areas was self-esteem, was about what I thought about me, who I know that I am, that you violated. Pride is about not what I think you think about me. Pride is what I know you thinking about me. Remember, the book talks about resentments, fancied or real. Mm-hmm. So there's stuff jumping off up here that ain't even true, but up here is true. So pride is about what I know you're thinking about me and how you're looking at me. Ambition is about what is it that I want. Security is about what is it that I need to live. Not to be okay. There's certain things I believe if I don't have them, I will die.
Like sex.
Like
money. Believe money
is the
same thing.
Like a roof over my head. Anybody ever been homeless in there? You sort of sitting there, ain't you? You here in the physical, ain't you? Right? But there's a part of a belief system for some people that believes they have to have that. You understand what I'm saying? So it's about definites. Security and self-esteem is what brings the third column home. Who I know that I am, that you've violated, and what I know I need in order to live that I'm not getting. Personal relationships is about basic inventory now, relationships between me and another man, and how I believe you're going to look at me. So take this for instance. He won't follow my directions. Extended third column on personal relationships. Men might think me a punk, think me worthless, think me useless. You follow me? Because of his actions.
Right.
Not following my directions. Sex relations deals with women. Sex relations deals with women. This is basic inventory now. Personal relations deals with men. Sex relations deals with women for men, men for women. So if you find out that I got a sponsee that ain't doing what I'm doing, he ain't no man. He ain't about nothing. What can he do for me? He can't even get him to do what he needs to do. What can he?
That's your ego saying that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
This is all ego.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Third column is the lie.
It's all ego.
First three columns are the lie. Whether you saying it or not, it's hooked up up here. For me. Nine times out of ten, you're saying it anyway, but.
The problem is me getting past that so I can see it. Because I was told to write on the top of the page, every resentment, God, please show me the things in myself that are blocking from you.
So
this stuff right here is blocking.
So basic inventory, sex relations is about women. Pocketbook can be about time or money. I've wasted, he won't follow my directions. My pocketbook is affected because I've met with him week after week, hour after hour, day after day, and he won't do what I told him to do. So all seven areas would be affected there.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but I mean, it seems like every single one is connected, and they're all connected by fear.
When we flip it over, you'll see that.
You are exactly right.
They all coincide, like yourself. So you're right. Your pride, sir. If your security is not, if you don't feel you're accepted by society, that's your pride maker.
You're exactly right. And you see that in extended third, or you see that when you write a fourth column. Because the end product on a fourth column is fear. Why am I afraid?
In the books that we bracketed, alongside of each one we bracketed, whether it was some fear involved or not.
Isn't this where we bring up the space characters too that Mark talked about before?
It's called Theater of the Lie. I was going to wait for Greg to finish and I was going to talk about it. It's called Theater of the Lie. I got stage characters.
Right.
There's a crew up here. Let me get started. There's a minion crew up here. There's a crew of guys that live up here. And that's who I believe that I, not I believe, that's who I know I am. I am the good sponsor. How dare you not follow my directions? I am the perfect husband. How dare you not be the perfect wife? You follow me? And it's a whole bunch of them. And actually what we used to do, we used to act them out. We would sit people up as certain stage characters and act it out. It's called Theater of the Lie. And Joe and Mark perfected it. And it shows you these guys that are out to get you. Because it's a lie. I am not the perfect sponsor. I cannot sponsor everybody. Everybody that comes to me, I am not meant to sponsor. As well as what I talked about earlier, the message that I carry is different than the message that Greg's carried. My message is geared to touch one somebody. His is geared to touch somebody else. Scott, somebody else. Yours, somebody else. So that's where I begin to see the third column as a lie. I am not the perfect sponsor. I don't give good direction sometimes. You follow me? Based on my humanness.
It was you ever see, I don't know if y'all are older, you ever seen a program called Herman's Head? It was a guy that had had all these different guys wrapped up in one.
I've seen that.
You had one.
Right.
They had the real macho guy, the real macho guy, and he was Bug and Bruce. Then they had the guy that was Romeo, and he was real lustful and sexual. Then they had the guy that was real shy and introverted, and they would all interact with each other. And the brooding party would beat up on the rest of the guys. Mm-hmm. So y'all are a bunch of punks, and y'all don't know what that is doing. And Romeo said, "Baby, I'm cool, you know." And he's real cool with the girls, and that's what Mike's talking about. And the first time I got introduced to that, and I tied that in while I was standing up here. I see that all the different personalities, and I have those. It just, you know, the book talks about it, and with the page 62, the actor. Sometimes I can be virtuous and kind and considerate and all that stuff. Then others I can have varied traits. I can be mean. Things don't go the way I want to. I'd be mean, egotistical, dishonest. I can be those things, you know. So I can change, but that's another part of my personality. So I can be very lustful, you know. I can be that's another part of me. So all those different ones come out, but they're in me. They have these meetings, but they don't invite me. I'm the CEO, right? So they have that, and it's going on. This is going on all the time. You don't know when that personality is going to come up. We got that person in me that's angry. It gets angry. Got that person in me that's self-righteous. I got that person in me that's judgmental of other people. I got that person in me that's selfish. That don't want to share anything. I hoard stuff. I got a person in me that's lazy, that don't want to do anything. And go on, I got all these people in there. anyway, the book talks about the guide words. I was given the guide words for this. It has hurt, threatened, or interfered with. And if it hurt my self-esteem or threatened my security or interfered with my personal relationship, you know, then I could use those guide words to find out exactly where I was at. Any more questions on that? Okay.
Or come.
Interfere with. It's right there on page 65. At the top, including sex. We're hurt, threatened, so we were sore, we were burned up.
Burned up.
Yeah. Burned. On our grudge list, we set aside each name, our injury. With our self-esteem, our security, our ambition, personal relationships, sex relationships, which have been interfered with.
Where's the eraser?
Any questions about the third column? Mike's going to do something. So, I can practically do this stuff in my head. That's how much I did inventory. So, in this case, where am I being selfish? Nobody knows?
Selfish in your attitude.
Probably judging.
Judge.
Control.
Yeah, lack of
what actions did you take?
An action. This is what I did. Because selfish to me is that I don't care about other people. They're being selfish or not.
Yes.
I don't care about his feelings. I don't care the way he can do it or not. He needs to follow my direction. Is that selfish or not? Dishonest. How am I dishonest?
Masking the truth to other people.
I believe that he can do something that he can't do.
That's right. That's the delusion.
That's the delusion. There were three types of dishonesty. Omission, commission, and it's that delusion. Things I believe about people that I don't know that's true, that I can't verify. Maybe he can't do it. Maybe he can't write.
Maybe you didn't show me.
Maybe that's true, too. That could be true, too.
But what
I believe that he should be able to do it, because I'm a good sponsor and I gave him good directions.
What's really with the fourth column that, see, the inventory is mine. It ain't Ron's.
Right.
Fourth column brings this stuff back to me. We see 1, 2, and 3 as the lie. What is it about fourth column that needs to happen for it to bring it back to me?
Turn the first three into trouble.
What does it need? Who said that? Exactly. So every statement in selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid begins with I. And I'm selfish because basically I want Ron to be the way I want Ron to be. Ron has to fit into the little box and slot that I done hooked up for him as sponsee. And if he jumps out of that box, it
wastes your time, it wastes your energy,
it upsets my world.
Right.
How selfish of me to think that I can put somebody in a little box. Who am I?
God.
Who do I think I am? What about dishonesty? Every direction somebody's given you, have you followed?
Hypocritical.
Have you?
No.
So I'm a hypocrite. I want Ron to do it, but I don't do it.
Wouldn't that be a realization?
What? I'm talking about dishonesty. I can rationalize it all I want. The book uses selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. Don't use rationalization.
I didn't say rationalization. I said realization.
Doesn't use realization. It uses selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. Anytime you try to interject anything into the process that's not in it, you're trying to play God. And you're changing the process.
And the most important part of the book says putting out of our minds the wrong others did. We look for our own mistakes.
I got to bring it back to me.
Right.
or else I stay trapped and I stay in bondage. This resentment about Ron ain't got nothing to do with Ron. Nothing. It's about my selfish, self-centered, dishonest, egotistical world that I live in still every time I write inventory. And my dishonesty is that what's good for the goose ain't good for the gander. You do it, but I ain't got to do it. And it's that simple. And once I realize that, I begin to get free. What's my self-seeking with Ron?
I don't know what actions. Was it continuing to push him to do something?
Telling others.
In an effort to do what?
Make you look good as a good sponsor.
In an effort to do what? Remember, I'm bringing it back to me. Yeah. Invalidate. What do I need to do to get the validation? Travel with me.
He needs to make you look good.
But in order for that to happen, what am I trying to do with Ron?
Playing God.
Playing God, what am I trying to do with Ron?
You're trying to control him.
Trying to control Ron, exactly. Trying to control. I am self-seeking because I want to control Ron. That's why I'm so twisted. Because I can't. Ron ain't having it. And the universe ain't having it. And until I got to doing this work, I would go to any lengths to try to control out here. Look at your life. Look at your relationships. Look at your marriages. Look at your jobs. My self-seeking is that's one of our biggest defects. I want to run some.
No, I want to run everything.
Now, here's the ironic part. I want to run something in Alcoholics Anonymous. In the Nut House.
Worst part is I want to be famous in Anonymous program.
Yeah.
In an insane asylum, I want to be in charge. So I want to be known.
It's about getting fourth column helps me to get to the root of really what's going on. It's not about you guys. It's not about Ron at all. So I'm trying to control him through my self-seeking, because that does what? It validates me. So then I get my worth out of Ron as opposed to getting my worth in here. You with me? And it's a delusion. I'm living in delusion. In false pretense. So, my self-seeking, I can't control him, so what happens? I'm in fear, why?
Because he makes me look bad.
He makes me look bad, but I'm in fear, why? I'm afraid.
Self-reliance, failure.
Then I'm not who I think I am.
It's real simple. It ties in with self-seeking. I'm afraid because I cannot control Ron. See, because I got to control Ron, because Ron makes me who I am. That's where my life... You guys with me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm living. Fourth column smashes that to smithereens. It's real simple. It's not complicated. I want control. When I don't get it, my world just goes kaputs.
And that's why the book kind of set us up when he told us about the actor. It was setting us up for this. Mm-hmm. You know, I may be somewhere at fault, but I think other people are more to blame.
You know what the book is setting us up for?
The book is setting us up for this. That's what the book is setting you up for. The book is letting you know if you're a real one, you either do what it says or that's waiting for you. The real guy. That's what the book is setting you up for. Very shrewd characters that wrote that big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Very shrewd, spiritually endowed, God-given powers. That process of recovery in that book sets you up for this. And guess what? The majority of people that come to see us fall for it. Because they never do the work, or they get into work and they stop. That's what it does. It told us that's exactly what this book is about, to enable me to find a power greater than myself. So there's only two powers in my life, God and Heron. That's it. I'm either going to God or I'm going to Heron. It's that simple. Inventory is designed to get me in the place of seeing I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of everything that happens in my life. You have nothing to do with it. Nothing. And when I think you do, I'm in delusion. And this has the power. As long as I stay in a place, man, where I see what I created, I can uncreate, I'm on the path. I'm on the path. So fear is about losing what I got or not getting what I think I deserve. Ron is supposed to be looking up to me, man. Ron is supposed to be honoring me. Ron is supposed to be worshiping me. He is not supposed to dispute anything I tell him because I'm God. That's where the resentment came from. I am the sponsor. Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's getting mighty quiet in here. I am the know-it-all. Just follow me. You'll be all right. Ron has got to have his experience. You don't want to do the work, don't do work. That's where I'm at with guys I work with now. You don't want to do it? Don't do it. I'll give them truth about what's happening with that, but I'm not shoving it, and that's a 360 for me. Because in my beginning, first 12, 13, 14 years of my life, I was like, if you going to hell. Don't finish that inventory. You burning in hell. And what are you, crazy? What's wrong with you? My first few years in recovery, I was a zealot for the process of recovery. I was insanely driven because it revolutionized my life. They call them evangelists now. Big book thumpers. Kills me when I get in a meeting and people start talking about the very thing that saves people's lives they want to knock down. They want to knock big book thumpers down. The very thing that this program is based on, they want to tear it up. Yeah.
But I'm just trying to understand this. Like, aren't y'all technically changing it then from what's out of the book? Because the way that I'm seeing y'all doing it, I might have this completely wrong. This is just my perception of it, is that you're writing out, the seven...
Seven areas, uh-huh.
But as you're doing it, instead of going back, as it says in the book, to look at it, and then seeing where your selfish, dishonest, self-seeking is right, you're doing it all at one time.
Because there's a piece back here that says, we went back through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. It was apparent that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us went. God. The usual outcome was that people continued to hurt us, wrong us, and we stayed sore. Down here at the bottom of that page, it says we turned back to the list, for it held the key to the future. It says, we were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. So here's another angle that they came up with, extended third column. It doesn't take away from what they're talking about. We're still looking at all seven areas,
right.
But we're going in depth with looking at all seven areas.
Okay, I understand.
You follow me?
My thing was this way. People I've worked with the first time, I don't give them the third at all. Why don't? Because they never exposed for them. But I work with people that got 16 to 17 years. You understand what I'm saying? And when you got that, what happened with me, my ego grasps the whole of the work, and it already knows what we're going to do, what's coming up next. So I have to come up with some stuff and some consideration to trick the ego so it don't know what I'm finna do. Because my ego would say, you know, you take me through the work, you take me through the same way you did last time, how you go grab that and I don't get the experience. But I switch it up and look at it, do it with the extended count. Then I look at what's going on here. What is this shit? I ain't never gotten used to this. What you doing here? You know what I mean? So I've done the work, but I've done the work with it, but never even cracked the book. Joe didn't even open up the book. He just gave me a bunch of considerations to look at. 1, 2, and 3.
Every time I go through a piece of work, I pray and I meditate and I ask God to show me somebody to take me through that piece of work so I can have a different, new experience.
New experience.
Because my altered ego attaches itself to what I've done before. And I need movement. I need newness in the world of the spirit. Remember we're dealing with, and we'll talk about it in 10 steps. We're talking about spirit world stuff, which I know nothing about. You had a question?
Yeah. It seems like it's all about, because you're saying, you know, they have a lot of tests, you can't just work your steps and you do it because you don't have enough humility. I think it's all about humility. It's crushing. Because when I want to perceive myself as the best person ever. I don't want to perceive myself as like, oh, I'm selfish and I don't, you know, I just want to control him and I'm not getting what I want. I've always wanted what I want. And when you have to humble yourself a lot to be able to do a 180 and look at yourself from a completely different perspective.
You're exactly right.
So, I mean, I guess it just takes, I mean, I've always was worried about it because when I started doing it, I could do like two of them. You know, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's really just about practice. And the more humility you gain, the better it is. The more ego, what's the word for breaking down? You know, breaking down your ego more and seeing what really is. Basically, ego can be like a cake, you know, and it's just got different little layers. And as you eat your cake, get to the different layers. I mean, y'all get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So.
What happens is that fourth column begins to repeat itself. That selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid begins to repeat itself over and over, and you're presented with the same thing. I'm selfish because I want the world to be a certain way. I'm dishonest because I want people to do something that I don't even do myself. And ultimately what happens is the truth hit home, and it hits you. And you're right, it's about humility. Because it ain't going to feel good when you find out you ain't as bad as you think you are.
What I see is a pattern. It's always a pattern when I'm right there. The face has changed, but it's the same shit. It'd be a woman because she didn't have sex with me. It's a different woman. It's the same selfishness, it's the same dishonesty, it's the same self-seeking, it's the same fear. It's just a different face. And what I get to see, this is a pattern I set up for me all my life. Same stuff. It's just this why I don't deal with it. When I don't deal with it, it just flows on. Like I get a resentment at you today, and then later on I get a resentment at her because I ain't dealt with this one with you. It's the same one. I picked up with her. Then by the end of the day, I got about 10. But it started with here. And if I didn't deal with that, when it started with that, I wouldn't have to worry about the rest of this. Yes.
Definition of resentment.
A well-nursed grudge.
Yeah, we're gonna take a couple more questions, then we'll take a break. We still need to look at fear a little bit, and we need to look at sex. It's three inventories in the fourth step.
My sponsor is kind of old school, and like you said, I feel myself being drawn into new experiences.
Tell them you want to do what?
No, that I want to branch out and do a fourth, fifth step with some other people. Get some new experiences.
That's his dilemma, not yours. If he opposes it, you might want to ask, why is he not open-minded about you having a new experience? I was encouraged to do that. I was encouraged to do that. I was encouraged to do multiple fifth steps. I've been encouraged, and I've done multiple fifth steps. I've read inventory to women. I've read inventory to family members. So, let's take 5 minutes. Quarter after, come back. We'll hit fear and sex right quick, and then you guys can read to a fist step.
Thank you. Just showed up. You know, he's never written before. He's been that
group. That's why it should have been simple.
You're playing $1.
Should I pull him off to the side and help him do something?
What do you say he's never written?
He didn't. No, it's not anything. There are two-step groups, and I told you about this.
Just let him be.
Just let him be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just let him have an experience. That's all.
So I got a feeling I'm going to end up taking him to the work after this anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you had the opportunity to, yes.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I was trained here this July, and it's a little different, you know, like the fears, like in with the worksheets, the fear of the lie, and like self-esteem, you put the fear right next to it, and that's one, and then the second page is realization, and then you go into the self-seeking, which is the action, and the selfish, which is the thought. And Mark sponsored me too.
Mark sponsored me too, but Mark also told me to stay open minded.
Oh, all right. No, I just, because I'm training my people. I'm not training, I'm just doing it with them, and I just don't want to.
And that's fine the way you're doing it with them. But
right.
You're here to have an open mind and a new experience.
Right, right, right. No, I understand. I guess because I'm just doing it.
Yeah, whatever you learned before now that you're passing on to your people is fine. You know, whatever was given to you that you're passing on in the way it was given to you is fine.
Right, okay.
But what we say is not going to coincide with everything that you've done.
Okay, I thought that it was, because the first two, I just thought that it was all parallel. But I didn't realize it was.
No, Mark took me through two pieces of work. I've done 10 pieces of work.
Okay, so then what you're doing
so
is
what
a
I do is a combination of all the times I've done the work. Right.
And you just kind
and
of
I pass on bits and pieces of it.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, and then what you do is different.
Well, we're parallel, but yeah, he's done some different stuff than I've done.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've, okay. And then we all, okay.
Right.
All right, I gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
father,
well, well, that's because they was getting away, Greg.
They was what?
They was getting away. Sex inventory is not about men, man. Sex inventory, sex relations is about women. I don't know where you got that men and women from. It's only about men if you're homosexual. It's only about women if you're a lesbian. I don't know where that came from. And they picked up on it. Because a lot of them have done that.
Yeah, it's just something different.
So you it, said I've you never, can, you I, well, I've maybe never heard that.
Maybe never.
And everybody you've done the work with, I know, man. I don't know where you got that from. Because I know they don't think that way. Sex inventory has nothing to do with men. Personal relationships is about men. Sex relations is about women. It's always been that way.
The thing is,
but we just move on with fear, and we did finish fourth column because I talked about selfishness, honest, self-seeking, and play. We talked about it.
I didn't.
Well, we also we're supposed to be finished this part at 3 o'clock, and that was all three inventory: resentment, fear, and sex. But because that got sidetracked, we got
that sexual relationship and with a woman. I like that because there's always often been this confusion for me with women and how judgmental I can be,
right?
And how much it stirs up is almost that, you know, that kind of attention. So that really cleared up opened a new door.
I can't really put up there.
Ah, right.
Are you guys online?
No, he's got some
just his own stuff, but not actually online.
Yeah,
I tried connecting to their wireless network and couldn't get it to line up.
Okay. You want to talk about fear? I talk about sex. Like 5 minutes each, and have them read their resentments to their partner, do a fist up, and come back and let them cheer them, and then we'll be fixing to take a break. $3.25 we're supposed to do. Six.
Ask y'all a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe talks about that resentment is just anger towards yourself directed at someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that through my last inventory. And I understand the three columns, you really don't need to write a fourth. But don't you get your 6, 7, 8, 9 from that fourth column?
6, 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
No, you can get it out of extended third.
You can get it out of extended third.
You can write fourth column in extended third. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
It just compounds. It just adds to the inventory and to your fourth step if you do extended third and fourth column.
Okay.
But you don't necessarily have to do fourth column when you do extended third. Because you can get your amends and your defects and all that stuff out of extended third.
Okay.
You just got to write it to them if they're right. The right way.
And more, even as big before we get into stuff that this is based on, right? As far as the question. As far as that work, that's how I went through the steps last time.
That work with Dan's book?
Hmm?
Yeah, Dan's got a book. I don't use it.
But the question, right, it's in conjunction just with the ideas of my self-esteem. And you know, I hadn't been exposed to that. My first body of work was checklist. You know, that's the experience that the guy had that was taking me through it. You know, but I never looked at it. How do I see myself? How do other people see me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I have to want here? What do I need to be okay? I'd never looked at it like that, but it made total sense to me when I did look at it that way.
Yeah, this is, what we're talking about is one avenue
mm-hmm.
to get access to and cultivate, begin a cultivation of power with a God, with a power greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. Just one avenue. You know, they got checklists out there, sponsor you checklists.
Yeah. I tell you, in the book. The guys I sponsor buy a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
They draw the columns in the book. We do Mr. Brown example. Because
mm-hmm.
I'd give them these packets, the first several that I sponsored,
mm-hmm.
and the packet would sort of be intimidating to them. They don't see the notebook as intimidating.
I don't use the workbook. I know Dan well. We both grew up with Dan.
Yeah.
We know when he wrote the book.
Yeah.
I don't use it.
Yeah.
It was the only thing I use.
See,
workshops and I sponsor people.
Because it's making me, I'm taking a group right now, another gentleman and I here going through the Big Book Awakening in conjunction with going through the book using
mm-hmm.
the Big Book Awakening as our tool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of people in the group have come up against their old ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They have a problem with crossing out stuff and writing new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I can
We've been
see.
Running into it consistently.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah. Okay.
And we specifically lay aside prayers about an open mind and
mm-hmm.
a new experience.
Yeah.
But my alter ego is resistant to that.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to rely on what I think I know.
Oh, yeah, what worked last week.
Because stepping out into the zone is about stepping out. And when I do that, it also means that I have to be willing to believe that God will keep me in that unknowingness.
Right.
But there's annoyingness if I have any experience with recovery that God will keep it. Because I'm in the moment.
Right.
Yeah, it's a natural reaction for my alter ego to rebel
right.
against anything. Anytime something new has been entered into my process of recovery in my life, it's taken it to another level.
Right.
So,
yeah.
That's an excellent book, Dan.
Oh, I think it's amazing.
It works for hundreds, thousands of people. I know people all over the world use it.
Yeah. There's a talk of Joe that I have, and the way I sponsor guys is based on that talk. You know, when a guy comes to me, read the book in 3 days, come to me with a somewhat of a book report, let me see.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sponsor guys that can't complete that assignment
mm-hmm.
because they ain't going to write inventory and they're going to waste my time at the end of the day.
Good. Yeah,
so,
you want to see where they're at.
Yeah.
Same thing. I give out assignments. And basically, what I do in the beginning is somebody asks me to work with them, I have them call me. See if they call.
Yeah.
And see if they're serious.
Yeah.
And if they call, I give them something to do.
Yeah.
And see if they do it, and I give them time frame.
Yeah. What's your time frame when you're taking a guy through inventory?
Depends.
Yeah.
How I work with a guy depends. I might work with you differently than I work with her. If you come to me and ask me to sponsor you, I go into prayer and meditation and ask God how am I supposed to take you to work. I've completed the work 10 times, 11 times. So I incorporate all that stuff into working with somebody and I let God guide me. There's a number of ways as outlined in here that I'll start somebody off.
So you don't necessarily take line by line?
No.
Never? Or sometimes? Never.
No. Oh, yeah, sometimes. Yeah. But very rarely unless it's a very, very new guy.
For new people, you'll...
Very, very new guy. 3 months. 60 days, 90 days.
That's line by line.
Yeah.
Okay.
To a degree. But again, it depends on what comes to me as to how to sponsor them. And that I mean, what should I give them? How should I take them through? Some guys I'll sit down with and we'll go through together. And some guys I'll give assignments and they come back and we'll talk about it. So it's all divine intervention.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, are we all here? Everybody back?
Okay, did we stop us?
We're going to touch on.
No. Stop it now, start it.